4. We've been going through the book of Proverbs a little bit. Now, I told you when we first began our study, it's not my intent to go verse by verse. Just want to talk with you a little bit about wisdom and some of the things that wisdom teaches. We looked at last Wednesday night, we talked about how that Solomon over and over again calls out unto his son. If you'll look at just for a moment, look if you would at chapter number two, and that's in chapter one some, but I won't take the time there. Chapter 1, verse 10, again, I think it's verse number 15, he says, my son, you see that, chapter 1, verse 10, verse 15, then you get to chapter 2, verse 1, my son, chapter 3, verse 1, my son, verse number 4, hear ye children, or chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 1, hear ye children, verse, or chapter number 5, my son, he's speaking to his son, he's speaking to the children, and he's saying, listen, hear me. I have some vital information that I've learned in life that God has taught me, and I want to pass it on to you. And so you need to have your ear open, and you need to have your eyes open to what you are being taught, shown, and what you are being taught through your Father, but more importantly, and in a higher level, from our Heavenly Father. We need to have our hearts in tune with what God is trying to teach us to give us wisdom. Now, I'm not going to, I have a thought that I want to get to tonight, and it's just the first part of a three-part thought, and we'll get that first part. But I do want to remind you in chapter 1, and we'll come back to chapter 4, but there's some words that I asked you last week to underline. And if you were not here, I want to ask you to underline these words because it's very important. At the very beginning of the Proverbs, there is this foundation that is being laid. It's Solomon saying, now listen, son, I want you to understand the importance of wisdom. And he said, wisdom shows up in many different ways. There's a diversity of ways that wisdom can be applied in your life. Most people think wisdom is just narrowed down to the ability to use or apply knowledge. But that's not what the book of Proverbs says. That may be what some commentator you read after said. But let's look and see what God told Solomon to say. Look, if you would, in chapter number 1 and verse number 2. To know wisdom. Now, when you know wisdom, he said, and instruction. Okay? Wisdom works with instruction. Wisdom gives the ability to receive and even to give correction and instruction. Notice, if you would, another word in verse number 2. Wisdom gives the ability to perceive understanding. You see that? That's a very important word, understanding. Sometimes when we hear verses like in chapter 3, I talked a little bit about it Sunday night, lean not unto thine own understanding. Say, well, God doesn't want me to have understanding. Well, that's not true at all. God just doesn't want you to lean wholly on your understanding. God wants us to attain understanding. As a matter of fact, with all of your getting, he said, get understanding. And so let's look at another word here. Look, if you would, in verse number 4 of chapter 1. He said, to give subtlety. Now, that's prudence. That's the same word, to give subtlety. In other words, to be wily and crafty, to be an adventurous spirit, to pioneer something. And he said, wisdom will help you to do that to the simple. And then he said in verse number 4, he said to the young man, knowledge. And here's another good word, discretion. You see how wisdom uses these things to build a proper life, a proper mindset, a proper perception about what God intends life to be. Can I tell you that our society, now let me finish before I make that statement. Look at verse number 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Wisdom is a part of that. And then the final word is the latter part of verse number 5, the last word there, counsels. Now all of these are tied up. And last week I went into how wisdom uses these attributes, how wisdom uses these things in our lives. That's why wisdom is so important. That's why he said in chapter 16, wisdom, to get it, is better than getting gold. Amen. Now listen, that's just not a play on words. That's just not some colloquialism. That's the word of God. God said, you need wisdom more than you need gold. And so you need to understand how important this is. We toss around words sometimes. I'm guilty of it. We toss around words sometimes. We think, well, okay, wisdom. We hear about it and we hear what wisdom can do. Here's the man of God under the inspiration of God saying, you need this. And here are some things that wisdom is going to increase in your life. It will pair up with understanding, with discretion, with prudence, with knowledge, with instruction, with counsel. It'll pair up with these things and help you to be a man or a woman of God that has direction in life and understanding about why what's going on in life and why it's going on. It helps us to know the mind of God. Because wisdom, as it's used in the book of Proverbs many, many times, is equated with God himself. And the wisdom of God is Christ. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And so it's so important. Now, when we get over to chapter 4, and here's a thought I want to share with you tonight. I began a little bit, and I'll not finish it, but I do want to, tonight I'll not finish it. But I do want to give you a point. I want to give you a thought. And the thought is on thought. Our thought life. I want you to understand how wisdom teaches me that I am going to become like what I allow my mind to think on. And so before I get started, I want to ask you a question. Is my mind a sanctuary or a cesspool? Now I want you to answer that question to yourself, honestly. Because it's either one or the other. You know, something very interesting, and it's just God. I can't think on more than one thing at one time, and it's not because of my age. So don't get concerned there. You say, man, I don't want to get as old as my preacher. Listen to me. That has nothing to do with age. It is the way that God has made it. You try. Try thinking on two things at one time. Can't do it. You can't do it. Now, you can have a lot of things that you're trying to process, but you can only think of the one thing at a time. And I'm glad God made it that way because it's very important. You know why? Because what I think on are kind of like my friends. I get to choose. What are you choosing to think on? I think it was Martin Luther that said, I cannot prevent a bird from flying over my head, but I can prevent it from nesting in my hair. So you see, there are sometimes that thoughts can pop in my mind and your mind, and we think, where in the world did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. It came from something I saw or heard. And there can be seeds planted. But now, if I dismiss it and move on, well, I'm making a choice to move on from that thought. But if I dwell on that thought, that too is a choice. If I develop that thought, well, soon it may become an action. And we'll talk about that just a little bit tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Again, I have a thought that I believe God has laid on my heart. God has really been speaking to me about my thought life. Now, before somebody says, well, you know, the preacher got a dirty mind. Well, you know, I may. How about you? But I'm not just talking about unclean. I'm talking about unkind. I'm talking about unethical. I'm talking about ungodly. Things that are not godlike. Things that are not pleasing to our Lord. The Bible has laid out specifically what we are to think on in Philippians chapter 4, and there's other scriptures. The Bible has said in Philippians chapter 2 that we're to let this mind be in us, which is in Christ Jesus. What mind do you have? Is your mind a sanctuary or a cesspool? You get to choose, and so do I. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a help to your people and help us as a people to let your word help us. May the Spirit of God speak to me and through me the truths that you've laid upon my heart. Do a work in our midst. Exalt the name of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're in chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse number 23. This is where we'll begin and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 27. And I just want to give you one thought out of this, okay? So what happens here, before I get into this, is he's talking about how we are to choose a path that we're going to take. You're either going to take the path of the wicked. You'll find that in verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. You see that in chapter 4, verse 14? Don't listen. Now, it's a choice. Don't enter it. Don't enter the path of the wicked. But, and he even goes on and instructs, you know, avoid it, he said in verse number 15. You see that? Avoid it. Don't even pass by it. Turn from it. Don't even play around with that kind of sin. You see what he's saying? And then he said in verse number 16, they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And then he says in verse number 18, but the path of the just. Now he's drawing a parallel between the path of the wicked and the path of the just. Now, I get to choose my path. You get to choose your path. But then he says, what's going to help you make that choice? You know, I want to make the right choice. And I believe you do too. We want to make the right choice. So, well, I'm saved, so that means I'm going to make the right choice. Well, do you know any saved people that have followed the path of the wicked? Well, let me just get more personal on that. As a saved person, have you ever found yourself on the path of the wicked? Sure you have. Now, I'm not proud of that, and I hope you're not. It's just a fact. Now, how am I going to avoid that? Well, he says, let me tell you what you need to do. And that's where we're going to pick up, okay? If you look with me in verse number 20, he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You see that? Listen to me. And so he said, what you hear is very important to what you think, okay? What you hear, what enters your ear gate, is going to find its seed in your thought life. And then he goes on to say in verse number 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Isn't that interesting? That he goes from what he's saying to what this person should be seeing. And so he said, your ear gates and your eye gate, they're going to feed your thought life. And so you need to be real careful. As a matter of fact, he got really particular down in verse number 23, and he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, I want you to listen to me. What he's saying is, don't let just anything get in your ears or in your eyes, because if they do, they're going to find their way into your mind. And when they get into your mind, the battle's on. Because this is the battleground, Christian. Are you listening? This is the battleground, right here. All day, every day, battle, right up here. You wake up in the morning battling, you go through the day battling, and you go to bed at night battling, right up here. Right up here. Oh, not me, preacher. Oh, listen, you're missing it. You're in a war and don't even realize it. There's a battle going on right up here. And how you feed and what you feed is going to determine how you succeed or fail in this battle. And so he said, keep. Notice that word. We're going to look at some words. I just want to just take some time tonight. That's why I'm just going to get one thought here. I want to look at the process of the thought life. Okay? And so he said, notice the word he starts out with. Keep. Well, let's look at the whole verse, because there's no way you can really read this verse and not realize it's almost like, have you ever walked up to a gate? I thought about this today, how that sometimes I've walked up to a door or a gate and I've seen a sign that said, warning, do not enter. And sometimes I wanted to open the door and say, wonder why? You know, but you know, you don't want to do something that stupid, but sometimes we are apt to. It's almost like we're being told here, warning, your thought life could be hazardous to your health. You say, how did you get that out of that verse? Well, look at it again now. Look at it. Keep thy heart, look at this next phrase, with all diligence. There is an energetic vibe to that word there. When you look that word up, it means guard it as a watchman. That's what he's saying. You guard your heart You keep, that word keep is like garrison. You build a fence. You fortify that area, and you put somebody to stand watch. Don't you let just anything in your ears and in your eyes, because it's going to find its way in your mind. That's what he's saying. And so you keep it. You guard it. You set some boundaries about what you look on and what you hear. Don't you just listen to anything. Well, you know, I don't listen to the words. I don't listen to the music, preacher. I just listen to the words. That's ridiculous. You're hearing it all. Well, I don't watch the bad part. I just watch the good part. You're seeing it all. And I am too. I'm not preaching down to you, brethren. I'm just telling you that this is important. He's saying, you be careful. You be careful, because what goes in your eyes is going to make its way into your mind, and it's going to make its way into your thought life. It doesn't just go away. The mind, I mean, God has so constructed and built the human mind, the brain, brethren. I mean, you're talking about a piece of machinery. Our minds are fascinating. You ever found yourself singing a song that you sang 35, 45 years ago? And then when you're witnessing to somebody, you're trying to draw up a scripture that you've quoted 500 times, and you're struggling. How many of you have done that? Raise your hand. It's real. And then you'll be driving down the road. Out of nowhere comes this song, and you find yourself singing. And say, whoa, 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 whoa. You have to call time out. Amen. I almost want to pull over and repent. I don't want to sing that. I don't sing that stuff anymore. Yeah, I don't do that, preacher. Yeah, I know. I see the aura and the halo even as I preach. Come on. We all battle with the mind. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can win. But there's a battle plan. And if you do not put this battle plan into practice, into operation, you're going to be defeated in this thing of the battle of the mind. And so he said, keep thy heart. And we're going to look at the heart. You say, well, you keep saying the mind, but he's saying the heart. We'll get there. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Look at this now. What a statement. For out of it are the issues of life. That word issues, in your Strong's Concordance, says this. It is boundaries, source, outgoings. Out of your heart, things that are going to come out of your heart are going to play out in your life. That's what he's saying. They're going to be the source of what you do, what you think. There's an old saying, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What we think, God said it. Look at it one more time. For out of it, this heart, this area that we're going to be talking about tonight, proceed or are the issues of life. I am going to end up my path that I get on in life, and the end of that path, on the destination of the path that I choose, is going to all come about by what I think. You too. You say, well, I'm not in a good place. You're thinking the wrong things. That's why. You're letting the wrong things permeate your thought life. You say, well, I can't help it, preacher. Well, now, remember the quote. There are some thoughts that we just cannot help entering in. But we can control if we muse on them, or if we meditate or allow those thoughts to develop, or even develop them ourselves. But we don't like to talk about that, do we? You say, preacher, would you develop an unkind thought? I don't know. Would you? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And those things, listen, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you be careful now what you allow to pass through to find its way on the inside. And he said, because out of it, that's where the issues of life are going to come from. You're going to find yourself doing what you think. Did you know, actually, people make this statement, you know, they do something really dumb. You ever done something dumb? Everybody's just looking at me like, do you really want me to answer that? I do, yeah. Sure, you've done something dumb, probably even something stupid. And people say, well, what was he thinking? And then somebody says, well, he wasn't. Sure he was. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he probably thought it before he done it. We think before we do. And we just can't say that when we want to do good things. We have to understand that when we do stupid stuff, we thought about that too. We just didn't make a wise choice. When we do, let me take the word stupid out of there. And let me put a good Bible word in there. Sinful. Yeah. When we do sinful things, we just didn't think it through. We thought about it, but we didn't think it through. So what are we going to do? Well, let's look at some things. I have some thoughts here I want to give to you, okay? I want you to look at Proverbs 23. You hold your place here. We're going to turn to some scripture. Proverbs 23. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse number 7, and I understand the context in which I'm reading this, and I'm not going to just pull this out of context and make it say something it doesn't say. I'm just simply trying to give you a proof text that what a man thinks will eventually become what he is. Look at verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart. By the way, that is the same word, heart, as back in Proverbs 4. I looked it up. You can too. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who you are. You are what you think. So, well, a man is what he eats. Nope, he is what he thinks. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 23. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs 23. I think it's verse number 20. I thought it was verse number 26. Yeah, here it is. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, look at this statement. What a statement. My son, give me thine heart. You see that word heart? Same word. What is he asking him for? Give me your thoughts. You say, is that the heart? Well, we're going to see in just a moment. Let me get your attention for a moment. Let me get inside of here and let me tell you something that's going to help you master this up here so it can become ministry and not misery. Let me give you something that's going to help you win the battle. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Now, this is a father speaking to a son, but can I tell you, our Heavenly Father, my Father speaking to me as his son. And he's saying, listen to me, Dale, I need your heart. If you're going to win, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be any good for the kingdom, if you're going to represent me well, I need your heart. I need your thought life. I need what you're thinking. You know how I'm going to transform you, Dale? Now, listen to me. By the renewing of what you think, of your mind. That's how you're going to become what you need to be. You're not going to become what you need to be by checking some boxes and mimicking some other people or just taking up what some other people are doing. Let me change your thought process. Let me change the way you perceive you, the way you perceive me, the way you perceive sin. And God will do that. God will do that if we allow him to. Now, before I go any further, I only have two more thoughts about this thought. I want you to take your Bible and turn, and we looked at this last week just briefly, Genesis chapter number 6. In Genesis chapter number 6, so you turn there, Genesis 6. So here is a father saying, hey, give me your heart, and then I believe God is saying, give me your heart. By the way, that's what God starts with, and I'll get to that in just a moment. See, we're all flawed here, and I'm going to show you what caused God to send the flood. You say, I know what caused God to send the flood. Well, good. I'll just confirm it for you. So it's the heart that God's after, brethren. And sometimes when we think of heart, we get this thing mixed up. And we think, well, yeah, you know, it's this organ that pumps blood. Well, There's a principle, and I mentioned it last week, and I mentioned it here before. There's a full mention principle. There's Bible principles that help us to understand the study of God's Word. There's a full mention. There's a first mention. I want to talk to you about first mention principle, which means the first time a word is used in the Bible, God will give you an idea, this is what this word is, and he will either build on it, but either way, it's going to stay consistent all the way through the Bible, all the way through. And so here's the first time the word heart is mentioned in the Bible, and I want you to notice what's attached to it. I think it's very, very interesting. Genesis chapter 6, look if you would in verse number 5. You know this text here, right? It's the days of Noah, and God looked and he saw that the intents, in verse number 5, look at it. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the, what's that next word there? Thoughts. His thinking, the thoughts, the thinking of man were what? Only evil continually, and the thoughts of his what? Heart. Does your heart think? Does it? You see, it's the seat of man's thought life. This is what God is saying. God is saying that the seat of a man's thought life will determine who he is and what he will become. And the world then, that was then, before the flood, God is saying that man, look at what he said about their thought life. He said their thought life, every imagination of their thoughts were only evil continually. They were always thinking evil, wicked, heinous, filthy, sinful things. Their heart, their thoughts. All they were doing is just thinking polluted, ungodly things. So much so that God said, I'm going to have to destroy the world. That's pretty bad. For God to look down and see the thought life of man was so wicked that he was going to have to destroy the earth. So God takes what we think. Oh, now listen to me now, very seriously. Oh, God's not concerned about what I think, preacher. Well, I think he is. He was then, I think he is now. And we'll see that in just a moment. Now look at the next verse. Verse number 6 says this, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at what? His heart. Same word. Look it up. Same word. And so here's what we learn about the heart. The heart is the seat of man's intellect. You see that? His thought life. But it's also the seat of man's emotion. Now, this is where we get lost, okay? This is where we go all in right here. We say, well, you know what? That's my heart. My heart is all about emotion and feelings. And yeah, I'm ready to accept that. Well, if you accept verse 6, you got to accept verse 5. Same word. And our heart is both. But there's one more thing, and then we'll move on from this. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 11. Chapter 8, I said 11, I think it's 21. Chapter 8 and verse number 21. And it says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said, and here it is, in his heart, the Lord said in his heart, I will not, again, curse the ground. In other words, God said, I'm going to impose my will and do something out of my heart. Because my heart is going, because it carries out my thought into an action that is a will, my desire. My desire is coming out of my heart, my will. So this is what the heart is. So he said, now, let's think about what Solomon said. Solomon said, hey, you better guard your heart. You better guard your thought life. You better guard what you're thinking. You better guard your emotions. You better keep them in check. You better set some, remember what it said? Some boundaries. You better put a garrison around that. And you need to be very careful of what you will. And make sure that your will is reconciled with God's will. That's what he's saying. You guard it. You keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let it get out of control now. Don't go rogue. Because the way that you guard your heart and the condition of my heart is going to determine the issues of my life. I just want to be godly. Well, then have a godly heart. Have a godly thought life. I just want to do right. Well, then think right. You want to live right? Think right. Amen? Amen. And so here's what he said. Now, I have time for one more thought on this. You say, well, preacher, that was then, and that was the old life. Well, I'll give you a verse you write down, Matthew 24:37. Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you think that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart in our day is only evil continually? Yeah, I think so. And can I tell you, it will influence me. And it will influence you. You have to be real careful. If you have any kind of electronic devices or, I mean, you don't have to own them. You can be in a place of business. You can be in a Walmart. You can be in a restaurant, and you can hear things or you can see things. You don't have to be in a place of business. You can be riding down the road. And we just need to say, God, help me put a guard. Because I'm going to tell you what will happen. You'll hear something, and you'll know, I don't need to hear that. But then the battle starts. What decision am I going to make here? Am I going to continue to listen intentionally to fulfill the will of the flesh? Or am I going to remove myself from this to fulfill the will of God? You say, well, preacher, I don't have a choice. Yes, you do. Yeah. Remember what Proverbs 4 said. My son, keep. You get to choose. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You get to choose. You get to choose if you're going to continue looking or look away. Amen? Something flashes up. You get to choose if you're going to continue looking or say, whoa. You get to choose. I get to choose. Got to be careful. Real careful. Never too young. Never too old. Sin is no respecter of age or gender. It'll get you. It'll get me. It will. And I'm trying to help you. I am. I need help. God help me. I don't want to end up in a place. I don't want to end up on the path of the wicked now. I want to avoid it. Now I want to share something with you as I close with you tonight. Would you turn to Luke 15? So, I'm not going to get in detail with this. I just want to show you an illustration of what I just preached to you. I want to illustrate from the Bible what I just preached to you. Now, here's the deal, okay? Your heart, my heart, is deceitfully wicked. Oh, not mine, preacher. Yeah, it is. Desperately wicked. Deceitful. Desperately wicked above all things. My heart is. And so God came after my heart. I am so glad God came after my heart. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that heart that we've been talking about, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God came after my heart, brethren. Can I tell you, God got my heart, didn't steal it. Didn't steal it, didn't even take it. I gave it to him. Amen. I gave it to him. And every day I need to renew that commitment. Not so I'll stay saved, but so I'll stay safe. Yeah. Safe. I need to die to myself, my will, my thoughts, my desires, and I need to allow Christ, the mind of Christ, to live through me. I'm crucified with Christ. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a decision that you have to make. In Luke 15, many people have said, well, you know, at Luke 15, I'm not sure about that prodigal son. I'm just not sure. And I thought about this just this week. And this may mean nothing to you, but God just kind of spoke to my heart when I was studying this. And God brought me to this passage of Scripture. Because I believe what we're seeing here is the Father get the heart of the Son. He didn't have it, but he got it. And when he got his heart, he followed the exact same process that I just described to you. He got his thoughts, the thoughts and intents of his heart. He got his emotion, and he got his will. Does God have your thoughts? Does God have your emotions? Does God have your will? You know what God's saying to you tonight? He said it to me earlier. Give me your heart, son. Give me your heart. Don't you just go rogue and think and look on anything you want to listen to and look at. You run it through me. Amen? Look, if you would, in Luke 15. That's where we'll close. One of my favorite accounts of the Scripture. I think it's the favorite of many. And probably because we kind of see ourselves here, right? I mean, I know I do. I do. I won't read the whole thing. I'm just going to begin in verse number, let's start in verse number 17. So the story is the young man came and he said, make me or give me, you know, back in verse number 12. I have to show this. The younger son back in verse number 12 came and he said, Father, give me, right? Give me the portion that's coming to me. I want to do it my way. I want to think what I want to think. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. And the whole time the father's telling him, like Solomon was telling his son, and like David told Solomon, his son, and my son, give me your heart. Attend to my sayings. And the son said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I know better. I got plans. I got big plans. And boy, I just got this whole thing mapped out, and I just know how it's going to work. And I don't need to follow your path. I've got my own path worked out. And I just need my inheritance so I can make all this happen. And you know the story. So father gave him his inheritance. You know what happened? Boy, down, 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 down. And then it's like he heard a call. Remember when you heard that call? I mean, you knew it was from another country. He was in a far country, but it's like he heard the call from the old country. The call of the Father. I mean, it just came into his heart. And I like what the Scripture says here in verse number 17. Look at some of the most beautiful language in all the Bible. And when he came to himself, oh my, I tell you right now, every time I read that, I think about God calling me. And I heard his voice. I heard the voice of God calling me from another country. God called me. And it's like I came to myself. It's like a light went on. Bam. And it's like I thought, wow, how stupid have I been? How crazy is this? Why have I been doing this stuff? I'm sorry, God. God, I'm sorry. The Bible says in verse number 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You think his emotions changing any? You think so? I think so. I think his thoughts, I think his emotions, I think his will, I think it's changing. This is what repentance is. Repentance is a change of thought. Repentance is a change of direction. Repentance is a change of action. This is what's happening. One of the knocks on this parable, I don't see repentance in there. Well, you're not reading it right. Verse number 18 says, I will. See, he's exercising his will. After God changed his thoughts, after God changed his emotion and he realized, he came to himself, he started thinking straight, then he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is my favorite phrase in all of the parable. Make me. He started out in verse number 12, give me, give me. But then he ended up, make me. I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy. You see, when God changes your thinking, he changes your perspective on everything. Doesn't he, brethren? Doesn't he? And so that is what's happening in Proverbs chapter 4. Here's a father saying, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Keep your heart. Guard it. For out of it proceed the issues of life. If you don't want to end up somewhere down in some faraway country feeding pigs and eating on swine husk, you don't end up broken and without hope. Give me your heart. Build a garrison around it. Be careful what you look on and what you hear, right? Amen. How about you? As we stand to our feet, where are you at tonight? Where are you? Now, that's just the beginning. If you'll read the rest of chapter 4 between now and next Wednesday, I'm telling you, you will receive a wonderful blessing. When we guard our heart, when we give our heart to God, you read what the rest of that proverb in Proverbs 20, it's in 23, but when you get to 24 through 27, I'm telling you, it is whipped cream on the cake. It is good stuff. But I do want to ask you again before we close in prayer. What is your heart? A cesspool or a sanctuary?